introduce the next two panelists to you. The first is Ray Davis, who's a native Washingtonian activist and a community organizer who has been the executive director of the D.C. Coalition, Student Coalition Against Apartheid and Racism since 1987. He has widely traveled in East Africa and in 1986 was a researcher for the Eyes on the Prize series. He is currently a graduate student in Africana Studies at Howard University. Ray, would you just... The sister's voice that you will hear after Ray is Sister Thomas Sesway Chimoranga, who's a member of the African Student Union and a staff writer for NOMO, the African Student News Magazine at UCLA. She has worked with various grassroots organizations for the past 10 years and is currently doing work around political prisoners and prisoners of war.
Assalamu alaikum. Hotel, Habargani. All right. I want to say thanks to Tawana and to the Cooperative Research Network for pulling all of this together. And of course, thanks to the Creator for bringing us together to deal with these critical issues under the banner and in memory and in celebration of El-Haj El-Malik Al-Shabazz. It's very important that we're here for this conference. And I want to say, if you haven't felt it yet, that the spirit, the energy, and the dynamism that is here is incredible. I've been to many conferences around the country over the years. What I'm feeling here and what I see here has such fantastic potential that we cannot afford to overlook it, and we need to be serious about what we're here to do. We need to maximize our communication and maximize our planning. And that brings me to my first important point. That point is that, sisters and brothers, after this meeting, after this forum, we have no excuses. No excuses. We are here on our terms. We're here in the memory of our leader. We're here with all our people, with all our folks, with all our resources and thought. There is no excuse for not getting busy from today forward. I want to just make a quick point about something that a lot of you have been talking about around the country and in D.C. as well. That's a point about mentors. You know, we seem to say that our mentors aren't out there, that what we see is corruption, what we see is people half-stepping, people selling out handkerchief heads. I want to pose something to you. Maybe we've been looking for our mentors in the wrong places. Maybe we've been looking at the shiny cars and all the political titles and the big names, and instead, we need to be looking for our mentors at places like this. Because they're here. They're here, sisters and brothers that led and won the front lines 20 years ago, 10 years ago, that have been leading struggles in the community. They're here. They are our mentors, and I want to be the first to say not only thank you, but stay with us, be patient with us, and help us during this period. Just briefly, because there's a lot of stuff I want to try to deal with. I want to talk about SCAR just briefly. For those who aren't familiar with us, SCAR is a 7-year-old coalition that embodies about 12 campuses in the DC area. We have chapters or contacts all around the city. And our baseline issues have been opposition to apartheid, opposition to racism. We've been dealing with educational restructuring, realignment and curriculum reform. We've also been trying to push and deal with the idea of multiculturality. Multiculturality, not from the sense of diversity, not from the sense of pluralism, but from a sense of multiculturality where each nationality independently is strengthened and embodies itself, and that diversity among us is celebrated. These are the baseline issues we try to deal with. Of course, we know what we oppose when we put that out there. We're opposing racism and white supremacy. Bottom line, there is no other major issue that we got to struggle with. That racism and white supremacy defines itself through imperialism, cultural imperialism, and international imperialism. It defines itself through neocolonialism. These are the enemies by which we all have to struggle, and these are the things to which we can find common unity, not only within the African community, but also among people of color communities globally. I want to say briefly, as far as universities and racism. Frankly, brothers and sisters, I live my life, and people who know me know how frenetic I am, how it always seems like I never sleep and I'm going. I live my life with a feeling of being on the edge. We are in a serious, serious crisis with education in this country, and we're right in the heat of it. Whether it's in the major universities, whether it's in the community colleges, wherever it is, whether it's in the high schools, we are the ones that are bearing the brunt and paying the price, and our young people are paying the price for the deterioration of this education system and the miseducation that it perpetrates. Without going through it totally, because you know the problem, in my opinion, we've got about 7 to 8 years to do something on a serious level. After that, we'll be lucky if there are African-American students in higher education to do anything. To meet, to talk, to discuss, to learn, we are being phased out. Genocide isn't just at the point of a gun. Genocide is subtle. Genocide is disease and miseducation and drugs that are perpetrating us and killing us under our very noses while we struggle around trying to figure out if we're going to apply to this job or what kind of car we want to get. Don't tell me we ain't got the time and the resources to do what has to be done. We got the resources to buy $600 stereo systems. We got the resources to put the biggest and best speakers that we want in our cars. Don't tell me we ain't got what it takes to get busy. Some of the big issues, quickly, tuition increases. We all know, and many of us are facing, that is a problem that's not going away. We know that the tuition and fee increases are going up by semester in many cases. Each notch it goes up, watch our numbers go down. Each time, it's real, okay? So we gotta deal with that. We gotta deal with financial aid. And we also know that this stuff rolls over into the high schools. Because the SATs are racially biased, because brothers that are athletes and sisters that are athletes have to deal with Proposition 48, and on and on and on and on and on. We are being phased out. Okay? As far as how we're responding to it, and we got some sisters and brothers on this panel that'll get into it in more detail, I'd say there's three major areas. We've got organizational networks, we've had some very successful takeovers. And I think not only analyzing the Howard takeover, but the recent takeover of UDC, of which there are UDC students here, and the takeovers that are going, the smaller takeovers that have gone on that we haven't heard as much about, we need to continue to analyze this. We are eking out some gains. It's not enough. We're not holding these things for long enough, but it's working. So we got to work through that some more. We've also got some gains going on, as Pierre discussed, on the legislative end, in terms of students supporting things like Southern African sanctions, in terms of supporting issues such as the Civil Rights Bill, et cetera, et cetera. We're also seeing a lot of community work, as we know. Response to AIDS, response to homelessness, response to drugs. So we are integrating some of this stuff, but we got a lot more to do. I want to wrap up with looking at our tasks at this point, as I see them, and then some of where we need to look in the future. One is, I think we've got about three basic areas that we got to deal with. Again, we've got to confront imperialism and white supremacy at every turn. But we also have to realize, as Malcolm said, the master is never going to give us the tools to dismantle the master's house. So, bottom line, we've got to deal with self-reliance. Not just self-determination, because that could just be the having the freedom to stand up and scream about what we want or what we want the system to give us. So the first thing I have is economic self-reliance, and hopefully we can explore that. Politically, I've got anti-imperialism, and it ends to racism as bottom line issues, as opposed to this whole question of working within the Democratic Party or working within established political parties. And I think as youth, it's about time, if we're not buying this, we have to get the message across, not only to the elders, but to the greater community, that we're not buying this. Let's be clear, if it's so that we don't feel that this is working, let's stop wasting our time with it and get on with the business. The last thing I've got in terms of the other issue areas is community. And what I've got is healing. And when I mean healing, I'm talking about healing those rifts that stand between strong sisters and brothers that are helping drive that wedge between us and create those wedges in our family. We need a process of healing around that. I think we also need a process of healing around the drug situation. Because I think part of what the war on drugs is trying to do is also to get us to make war on those people in our community that have been victims of what the system is trying to perpetrate. So we need a process of healing whereby we can bring those people back in and work toward rehabilitation and not shunt our people to the side. I'm going to round out with my last 2 points. As Tawana said, I've traveled, I've been very fortunate and blessed, alhamdulillah, to travel throughout East Africa. And in part, what I want to do is work on building a business whereby I'll be doing import-export, and I know you're probably hearing more about this in the community. What I want to say is that we have absolutely all the responsibility for ourselves and our continent. We cannot continue to look to outside sources to take care of our business. We, you know, the African countries, most of them are billions of dollars in debt, okay? Many are still having to borrow. So even while right now they have called for a 10-year debt moratorium, hell, if you're still borrowing in the intervening 10 years, then not only are you going to have the old debt, but you're going to have the debt from which you just have borrowed. So obviously that's not the solution. At the same time, we are clearly not capable right now of pulling together the billions of dollars of capital that we need. But what we can do is stake out an independent course. If you look at the way the African countries have responded with the Lagos Plan, now this is several years old, this is 1985, in the face of what the IMF and the World Bank are saying about changing your economy, the African countries got together with the Lagos Plan and said, we can still put together an agenda dealing with self-reliance and dealing with solving our own problems. This, at the minimum, we can and must do. We must find a way to find economic self-reliance so that we do not have to go to the state here or to the international bodies to solve our issues. I think that this is fundamental. I think that we need to be thinking about establishing business with Africa. Right now, when I've gone over to Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, what you find is hardly any of us doing any kind of business over there at all, okay? What happens is we get there and I tell them, or in some way it comes out that I'm American. Most of the response is, Americani? Black Americani? We are never there, okay? Who is? The Japanese, the West Germans, the French. They're not afraid to do business in Africa. They're not afraid to do business in our continent. If we don't fill the void, somebody else will, and they're not filling it in our best interest. So I urge you, we must do this business. We must make these connections. I also want to challenge you to do 2 things regarding Africa. One is to deal with the current realities on the African continent. Yes, we must ground ourselves in our history. We must know what Jackson said. We must know what Diop said. We must know what George G.N. James said, and all the others that came before. But we can't get into visionary images of Africa and pyramids and unity and foolishness. We've got to deal with the realities of famine, drought. The continent is drying up. It's drying up, and at this very moment, there's an African Studies Association conference going on in Baltimore where one of the big issues that was coming out was, we've got to deal with the environmental crisis of Africa because our continent is drying away. The last thing I want to say is, we have to look at internationally how our continent is perceived and how we are perceived. When our continent has been allowed to deteriorate to a low level, we are also allowing ourselves, our image, our history, our humanity to deteriorate to a low level. It is time for us to pick up ourselves and our continent and rise back again. Last, I want to close with, as youth, it's time that we find and hold our niche in the struggle here in this country today. If again, our quote-unquote leadership isn't solving the problem, what we need, and Brother Chris is dealing with some of it, is to form a youth bloc that will form the new civil rights or the new African-American empowerment agenda for this country, so that when we're counting religious groups, labor groups, community groups, there will also be a student and youth group that is holding its own, that is defining and setting the pace and challenging our leadership and our community. Thank you, sisters and brothers.